I invite you to be finding Acts chapter 28 this morning. We've been in Acts for many, many weeks now on Sunday mornings, and we have come to the final chapter of the letter. Let's begin reading together God's word, Acts 28, and we will read verses 1 through 10. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. A man was talking to his friend about having been stuck in traffic and sent on a detour. The man said, "Well, the detour took me through 8 of those traffic circles, but I finally got where I was going in a roundabout way." As we studied last week, Paul is heading for Rome. But Paul is going to Rome in a roundabout way. Paul, we saw last time, was on a ship, and that ship sailed right into a hurricane. That hurricane battered the boat for a couple of weeks. And finally, there was a shipwreck. Paul and the other passengers, 275 of them, ended up on an island. And they found out when they had gotten there that the island was called Malta. Now, Malta was and is a beautiful island, but Paul did not want to be there. Malta was not on the itinerary. Rome was. And Paul needed to get to Rome. Malta was a detour. Life sometimes sends us on detours. We find ourselves in places sometimes that we never wanted to be. We didn't want to go through the miscarriage. We didn't want to go through the cancer. We didn't want to go through the downsizing, the layoffs. We didn't want to go through that dark period of time when our child was addicted to drugs. We didn't want to go through the clinical depression. We didn't want to go through the divorce. We didn't want to go through the death of a loved one. Our community and our nation and our world right now are on a detour of sorts. We didn't want this virus, we didn't want the threat, and we didn't want the disruption to our lives. But here we are. And so the question that I would present to you this morning is this: what should we do when we find ourselves in a place we never wanted to be? How do we deal with detours? Well, I would say if we can do what the Apostle Paul did in the text that we just read, that God will be pleased and we will be blessed. And let's lift right out of the text four things that Paul did and that we should be doing when we find ourselves on a detour. Number one, when you're on a detour, expect hardships. Just expect them. Paul did. Back in chapter 27, verses 25 and 26, this is what the angel of the Lord said to Paul when he was on that ship being battered by the hurricane. The angel said, keep up your courage. Paul, rather, is telling the men what the angel said. Keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. But watch verse 26. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. This detour did not take Paul by surprise. God had said, Paul, there will be a shipwreck, and you're going to end up on an island. Paul didn't know which island it would be, but he knew that he would end up with the other passengers on an island. And folks, God has told us that there are going to be detours for us. Jesus says to his disciples in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. Every time we have trouble in this world, it's just proof that Jesus knew what he was talking about. In this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have detours. Why do we have detours? For all sorts of reasons. Sometimes I go on a detour because I make bad choices. I make choices that are dumb or even disobedient, and I get consequences. Sometimes I go on a detour because other people make bad choices. That's why Paul was on this island. He told them not to sail. Winter's here. Storms come. We got to wait till spring. They wouldn't listen, and that's what got them in the hurricane and then the shipwreck and then stranded on Malta. Sometimes we have detours just because we live in a fallen world. When sin came into the world, God said one of the consequences is that the ground is going to be cursed. And we take that to mean the environment is going to be cursed. There are a lot of bad things out there. And sometimes they try to get us. We go through detours sometimes just because we live in a fallen world. And sometimes we go through detours because God wants us to, because there's something we need to learn or there's some way we need to grow. Tim Keller talked about a detour that he took early in his adult life. He's a minister now. When he was young, he fell for a young woman and he was just in love with her madly, but she didn't feel the same way. And so he started praying, and he said, I prayed every day for a solid year that God would bring her to me and bring us together and let us be a couple. He said, I even moved closer to her and said, look, God, I'm making it easy for you. But it never happened. Finally, he moved on with his life, and then later when his ministry developed, he looked back and he realized, you know, that woman wasn't the right person to be my partner in this ministry. And he said, I feel like God said this to me throughout the ordeal, and especially as I look back on it now. But I feel like God is saying, when my children pray, I don't give them what they want. I give them what they would want if they knew everything that I know. We may ask God to take us off the detours and give us exactly what we want. But he'll give us what we need in his knowledge. We don't get to choose the detours that we go on. But we do get to choose whether or not we are going to grow through what we go through. And if we do what Paul did here in Acts 28, that's exactly what we'll do. Expect hardship. Number two, enjoy hospitality. When you're on a detour, enjoy Hospitality, verse 2 of the text, the islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Verse 7, there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. Verse 10, they honored us, the islanders, they honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. Paul found that his detour brought out unusual kindness and hospitality from people. Kindness and hospitality beyond what he would have expected under normal circumstances. Detours have a way of doing that. There was a woman who heard a sermon at church about hospitality. She decided that she wanted to practice hospitality, so she invited everybody from her Bible class over for dinner. It's one of those things that when you plan it and announce it, it seems like a great idea, but the closer it gets, you realize how much work this involves and how stressful it is, and that's what happened to her. So it came the day when they're going to have dinner that evening, and she was rushing around the house, stressed out, and she was cooking and she was cleaning. She was complaining. She got everything ready and the crowd gathered and they all sat down around the table and she asked her young son if he would lead the prayer before they ate. And he said, well, Mama, I don't know what to say in front of all these people. And she said, oh, it'll be fine. Just say what you hear your mother say when she prays. And so he bowed his head and he said, Lord, why in the world did I invite all these people over here? Hospitality can be difficult, but there's something about being on a detour that brings out the best in a lot of people. It makes hospitality easier. We've been saying that our country and our world needs to be kinder and gentler. We've been saying our country and our world needs to unite. We need to come together. And a detour like this could be something that could be an impetus to bringing us together. Let's practice hospitality during the detour. Let's call on people and check on them. And if they're in that high risk category, let's see if we can shop for them, deliver something to them, help them get through this time some way or another. Dealing with detours, expect hardship, enjoy hospitality. Number 3, endure hostility. Endure hostility. Look at verse 3 again. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." Now, bless Paul's heart. He has been arrested on trumped up charges and held for 2 years. Finally, he gets on a ship and he goes to Rome to appeal his case, and they hit a hurricane. There is a shipwreck. He has to struggle through these chilly, cold waters, and he gets on an island, and then he gets on the island and he's helping build a fire, and he picks up some brush, and inside that brush there's a snake, and the next thing you know, that snake is hanging from his hand. Now, Paul had a lot of faith, but don't you think he just stopped and looked up and said, "Really, Lord? Seriously?" And there were some that used this unfortunate situation to turn on Paul. You see, not everybody is going to be hospitable on a detour. Some people are going to be cranky. Some people are going to be critical. Some people are going to blame. And that's what these people did to Paul. They said, man, we thought maybe God's favor was on you when you survived the shipwreck, but now to see this happen to you right after the shipwreck, you must be a bad person. You must have deserved this because of some evil, some sin in your life. During a detour, there will be critics and scammers and fear-mongers and hoarders. And the thing for us to do is to continue to do what is right, regardless of the opinions or the actions of other people. It's easier to give a label than it is give a hand. And some people will be doing that during any detour that you're on. I was reading something written by Milton Cunningham. He was a missionary and he had come home for a furlough and was on a plane from Atlanta to Dallas. Going to go home, see his home congregation, visit with his family. He got on the plane and he got a middle seat, and on this side of him, beside the window, there was a little girl, and she obviously, by looking, had Down syndrome. He settled into his seat and the little girl looked up at him and said, "Mister, did you brush your teeth this morning?" And he said, "Yes, I did." And she said, "Good, you should brush your teeth every morning." And then she looked at him again and she said, "Mister, do you smoke?" And he said, "No, honey, I don't smoke." "Good, smoking will make you sick." And then another minute passed and she said, "Mister, do you love Jesus?" And he said, "Yes, honey, I love Jesus very much." "Good, everybody should love Jesus." After a few minutes, Milton said he looked up and coming down the aisle of the plane toward them was obviously a businessman. He had the suit, he had the tie, he had the briefcase, he had the laptop. And he sat down on this side of Milton. And he opened up that laptop and he put off the vibe that "I'm busy, I'm important, don't bother me." He sat there just a minute and the little girl to Milton's left tugged him on the shirt sleeve and said, "Ask him if he brushed his teeth this morning." The businessman kind of surmised what was going on, and so he said, "Yes, I did." Another tug on Milton's arm, "Ask him if he smokes." Milton said, "Man, I knew what was coming." "Ask him if he loves Jesus." And Milton said, "Here I am, a missionary, and I didn't want to ask him. Because I was afraid that asking him would bother him. I was afraid that he would show me some hostility. I was afraid of what his opinion might be." But the little girl persisted. And so he said, "Sorry, sir, one more question. Do you love Jesus?" He said that businessman closed up his laptop. And his face got at first dark and then kind of sad. And the man said, "You know, I'm going through a hard time, have been lately, and people have been telling me I need to search for God. I don't know how. I don't know where to start the search." And so this reluctant at first missionary was able on that flight to tell this man how to initiate his search for God and to encourage him to do so. But you see, he had to overcome that fear of hostility and that worry about what's his reaction and what's his opinion. No, just do the right thing no matter where you are and let God take care of the rest. How do we deal with detours? One more thing. We expect hardship. We enjoy hospitality. We endure hostility. And finally, we extend help. We extend help when we're on a detour. Verse 7, there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. But now watch verse 8. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. Life's detours always lead to ministry opportunities. You might not have planned on being there, but it can fit into the plan of God if you'll just do the right thing while you are there. Paul told the Galatians in chapter 4, It was because of an illness that I came to you. Paul said, I wasn't even planning on stopping there. I got sick and I had to stop there so that I could rest and so that I could recover. And as a result, a congregation was formed there. And as a result, we have this wonderful letter in our New Testament called Galatians that blesses us to this day. One of my favorite passages in scriptures in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. I think about that passage almost every single day. And I ask the Lord, Lord, help me to experience internally and express externally the fruit of the Spirit today. I pray that almost every day. And I would not have that passage if Paul hadn't been sent on a detour because he got sick. Detours always lead to an opportunity to minister. Michael Judge was the first confirmed fatality on 9/11. He was a chaplain for the New York City Fire Department. He wasn't a firefighter, but when the alarm went, the siren sounded, he would go to wherever the fire, wherever the disaster was. He'd put on a fire suit if need be, and he would go just looking for somebody to help, somebody to encourage, somebody to lift up, somebody to pray with, somebody to pray for. On 9/11, of course, the siren sounded. So he went in the direction of those towers. He put on his fire equipment, and he went into one of those buildings as it was burning and as it was collapsing. He went in hoping that he could find somebody to help. When they recovered his body, they found a prayer that was in his pocket. Apparently, he carried it everywhere. The prayer said, Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say. And keep me out of your way. What if I just did away with my itinerary and said, Lord, I don't even have one anymore. You write it out. What if I said, Lord, there's no such thing as a detour in my life because I'm leaving it all up to you and I'm just going where you send me. I don't know what a detour is because maybe you sent me there. When we find ourselves on a detour, it is a time for us to minister to others. It is a time for us to extend help to others. It's an opportunity to minister. So while you're on a detour, collectively or individually, remember these things that Paul did. Expect hardship. Enjoy hospitality. Give it and receive it. Endure hostility because some will come. And extend help because you will have an opportunity to do so. May I tell you that sin will send you on a detour. The detour will be away from God. And if you feel like you're on a detour away from God because of sin, we encourage you this morning to deal with that. If you're a Christian, you deal with it by confession. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not a baptized believer, then you deal with it by coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, sin has me off track. Sin has me on a detour I don't want to go on anymore, and I want you to wash it away. I want you to put me on the right road again. You come in simple faith that Jesus is my Savior and I am a sinner. You come confessing, my sin is real, it's ugly, there's a lot of it, and I confess it all. You come repenting, I want to turn away from that sin, I want to live a different way. And you let Jesus wash away your sins in the waters of baptism. If you need to do that, we invite you and encourage you to do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.